talent has been a bit elusive and almost treated as a bit of an art.
That's Kristen Schroeder, Bain's Global Solutions Leader for Leadership Link.
Investors have thought human beings are not something historically where we can put a science behind it. But actually, some of the best investors out there are starting to do exactly that.
The whole area of talent assessment and leadership has continually plagued the industry. When I started working in private equity, the changeout rate of the C-suite was at about a 50% level if you looked across lots of portfolios of lots of GPs. That 50% number is still what we're seeing today. And it's not for a lack of effort that we have this issue. We see many private equity firms working with top-tier assessment firms to get more data, partnering with best-in-class executive search firms, and we've even seen many firms over the last 10 or 20 years hiring experienced portfolio company talent professionals. And yet, despite all of these efforts and all of the investment made to fix it, there's still a problem.
How do we employ the exact same amount of analytical rigor to the talent equation that we do to the companies themselves?
Today on the show, we'll be visiting with Kristen Schroeder, Bain's Global Solutions Leader for Leadership Link. I'm Hugh MacArthur, head of Bain's Global Private Equity Practice, and this is Dry Powder. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Hugh. I'm thrilled to be here.
In a recent Bain Hunt Scanlon survey that I think you had something to do with, we talked to a lot of private equity investors, and they told us that when things go wrong in a deal or an investment, very often management is part of that problem. And when things go right in a deal, management is part of that success as well. So it's not like the industry doesn't recognize that this is a huge issue and they need to solve it. So what are some of the specific problems that you see with what they've been trying to date in this, what I'll call the right-brained approach, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely, Hugh. The survey that you just mentioned pointed to three key problems. The first of which I will point to is the honeymoon syndrome. And interestingly, 92% of the private equity professionals that we surveyed said that waiting too long to make a management change had caused value to be lost. And then when you double click into that and you ask, well, why is that? Why are you waiting too long to make a change? The most cited reason was a hesitancy to upset a relationship that was courted all throughout the diligence process. But the reality of this is that when you wait, you get too far along in an investment cycle, and changing out a management team in year three or four is not ideal.
It's a really relevant point, isn't it? You spent months romancing a management team, getting on the same page, planning to spend years together. There's just something human and natural about not wanting to believe that something's wrong, even 6 months into a deal, if numbers start to go sideways. It just takes a while for that to actually sink in, given the kind of the deal curation process.
Yeah.
What else are you seeing that's a problem?
Yeah, the second is what I would call the translation issue. Close to 80% of our survey respondents use the value creation plans to set company growth targets. But what they're not doing is translating that into specific goals for the management team or to position descriptions when they need to go out and hire new executives for the company to achieve something totally new that it hasn't done before. And that process just isn't happening in a consistent, repeatable way.
Okay.
The next problem that we identify, and this has come up over and over again, is something we call the experience trap. There's a tendency within the industry to rely simply on what's on the resume, the past experiences, what they have done, without giving proper diligence and evaluation to the capabilities and the motivations that an executive has. And often it's these capabilities and motivations that are the X factor for success. For example, with one retail healthcare company we recently worked with on a Leadership Link engagement, the company was extremely mission-driven. This was pervasive. Everyone who went to work for this company just felt so strongly that they were making an impact in people's lives and bettering the healthcare industry. This company needed to go out and hire a chief marketing officer for the first time. And hiring someone would have been motivated more by simply achieving results, but not motivated by the mission of the organization, would have been completely oil and water with the rest of the executive team and would have led to failure almost inevitably.
That's fascinating. And I think the experience trap is one of the more intriguing ones because it's very counterintuitive what you just laid out, that more experience is not necessarily enough or good enough in every situation. Although what you described in the fascinating healthcare example is really it could be characterized by some as another right-brained way to solve the problem. You have to get touchy-feely with the culture and fit in with people and the mission of the company, which of course makes sense. But walk me through this left-brained approach at Leadership Link to talent management. When do leading firms actually start thinking through talent assessment, issues with the board, issues with management in a deal process?
Yep. Ideally, this starts in due diligence. Very early, get clear on what the company value creation levers are. And once you can do that, you can similarly start to get to a hypothesis on who is going to be responsible on a one-to-one linkage basis for each of those value creation levers. And once you do that, you can then scope out what you need for success, exactly what needs to be done, and the type of executive that you will need in order to believe that those things are actually possible.
Now, what happens after close? How do you get this into high gear once the deal closes?
Yep. Best practice is clearly to confirm your hypothesis that you had around the mission critical roles, leveraging ideally a third party to assess the top management team and make an early decision around, do we have the right team to take us where we want to go? And it's not just about replacing management. There's often use cases where it means adding new executive functions that have never existed within the company before. Or perhaps it's simply just setting very specific and transparent KPIs for the existing leadership team. And then if the outcome of all of this is we need to either replace someone or hire a new executive, you have the roadmap and it's easily translatable into an external job description that can be used by a third-party search firm.
And so what sort of details would a leading firm put into writing that some others might overlook?
Yeah, it goes back to what we said around the experience trap. It's not just past experiences, right? I.e. having held a CEO role for 10 years within XYZ industry, that's simply not enough. The focus around capabilities and motivations has to be part of the equation.
Now, Kristen, let's bring this to life. Can you give me an example of how a talent hunt was redirected by these more clearly defined roles and responsibilities?
Yes, absolutely. We had a situation where the exit strategy for the company was likely to be an IPO, making the CFO clearly mission critical to the successful execution of everything from the accounting procedures to ready the company for IPO, managing the relationships with key stakeholders. It was essential to get that process right. The CEO had thought that another executive within the company might be a good fit to slot over into this critical CFO role. However, after putting down on paper for the CEO exactly what was required to be successful here, the CEO came to the conclusion on his own. It was just so evident that the person he had had in mind was not going to be the right person with the right experiences, capabilities, or motivations to successfully take this company through an IPO process. And the result was going external to find someone who did meet all of that criteria.
So, Kristen, this really isn't about Leadership Link coming in and deciding, you know, which management team members are up to the task and which ones are not fit for purpose. You're talking about competencies, capabilities, mission critical skills required to fulfill a thesis, and are they present here or not, and where are they needed? Not necessarily personalities and how people are working and playing. Is that right?
Correct. In so many of our Leadership Link cases, the outcome has been needing to hire several new positions and functions that just haven't existed within the company. The company is going into a new stage of its growth and development. And because of that, new skill sets are required to augment the team.
How do you move from organizational goals or initiatives with a value creation plan into individual responsibilities post-close?
It's ideally done in a very transparent way, Hugh, between the private equity sponsor and the leadership team of the portfolio company. So mapping each of those responsibilities and then playing it back. I think one of the most helpful exercises of this whole process, and it's really resonated between sponsors and CEOs, is it creates this fact-based dialogue between the portfolio company executive team, particularly the CEOs of portfolio companies, and the sponsor around the talent agenda. In one recent example, the CEO of the portfolio company and the private equity firm had been talking around each other a bit, but it wasn't until we put down on paper in a really granular level of detail what was going to be needed for success that the conversation was transformed and alignment around new positions that would need to be hired and was able to be achieved.
once you've got these detailed descriptions of a job at hand and you're matching it up against the existing capabilities in an organization, how do you communicate these measures in this process to the executive? And what kind of reactions are you looking for or hoping for in return?
Yeah, it's in a perfect world, this is all transparent, right? And there's an often a use case here where the KPIs and the desired objectives that are set out are just used to create transparency. And in fact, as part of the survey, Hugh, the Hunt-Scanlon Bain survey that we did last year, so it goes both ways. The portfolio company executives are saying that they can do more and generate more value with more transparency.
So how far can these measures reach into the organization? Do you see them motivating employees beyond the C-suite?
Yeah, great question, Hugh. So the first step is usually to get the leadership in place and allow those individuals to then build out their team. But often it's about the full function as a whole, right? I'm thinking of things that need to be added to a lot of portfolio companies that we see, like, for example, digital marketing, right? This is a new function for a lot of organizations that haven't seen it before. Getting that key leader in is the first step. Ideally, that person then has a network of other individuals that they can bring along with him or her to build out the entire function. So it's not just about the individual level, it's at the team level. And those KPIs, while they start with the executive leadership team, they absolutely trickle down to the rest of the core mission critical functions.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, depending upon the kind of business, there are other non-C-suite roles that are going to be absolutely critical to achieving the value creation plan and really getting the full value that was underwritten during the due diligence. And it's certainly, if you're investing in a consumer products business, someone who's running digital marketing might be very, very core to actually executing and getting the value. By extrapolation beyond the C-suite, are you seeing things at the board of director level that also apply?
Absolutely. And in the private equity landscape, as we all know, the obligation of a board director in the private equity world is often much more hands-on, and the expectations for a board member to dig in operationally is much higher than you would see in the public domain. And in many instances, I can think of one right now, that's exactly what's going on, is in addition to hiring mission critical leaders for the company, private equity firms are supplementing the skill sets of the executive team with very hands-on board members who can dig in operationally and also serve as advisors to the leadership team.
So you really need to make a decision of what do I need in the C-suite or some other mission-critical job on a day-to-day basis, and what skills or capabilities actually would be better left at the board level to advise the CEO and the top executive team on big initiatives and make sure that they go the right way.
Correct. And we look at it as a tapestry. For example, if you have one executive that over-indexes in a certain capability or skill set, you might be able to under-index someplace else, but all of it comes together to have the fulsome team capabilities needed to execute.
So, Kristen, overall, with you and your other teammates at Leadership Link and your experience, would you say that this left-brained approach to talent management is repeatable across the portfolio? I mean, we've talked about lots of different kinds of businesses are in portfolios with lots of different kinds of value creation plans and capabilities required. Is this really kind of a Swiss Army knife for solving the talent assessment and capability issue?
100%. There's no reason not to do this with every portfolio company on every single deal. When we see statistics of private equity firms self-reporting in our survey, 92% that waiting too long to make management changes has caused value to be lost, there's no excuse not to do it. The sooner that you make the management change that you need to, if that's what's required for success, the sooner you can actually have the right talent in place and get on with the business of generating value.
Well, Kristen, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I know that I speak for many, many people across the private equity industry when I say that I hope that you've got this right and that this left-brained approach that Leadership Link has devised to solve talent assessment, talent performance management, and talent issues, full stop, and getting fit-for-purpose management to really fulfill the dreams of investment theses in the industry actually works out as well as you've described today. Thanks again for stopping by. It's been fascinating.
Thank you for having me, Hugh.
You can find a link to Bain's leadership report in the notes to this episode, or you can visit www.bain.com. I'm Hugh MacArthur. Thank you for listening.